Proverbs chapter 2, verses 10 through 22. These are God's words. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in perversity, the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God, for her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So may you walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Amen. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Well, we were warned about the enticement of sinners. In chapter 1, beginning in verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And we were apprised that wisdom gives a competing offer, a competing invitation, a competing welcome. In verses 20 through 33, wisdom calling aloud and urging us to respond to her. And then in the opening part of this chapter, in Proverbs chapter 2, we have heard how to respond to wisdom's call by attending upon the Word of God and applying ourselves, our hearts, to His Word and treasuring His Word so that we find not just ideas and how to live, but that we find God Himself, that He is the one who teaches us how to live and He is the one who leads us. And so now we hear about the benefit of wisdom in our life. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, etc. And the great benefit to us of knowing God and belonging to Him, being led by Him, by His Word, is that we are delivered. We are delivered from wicked men generally. And so you have the verse 12, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. And then among men generally who are wicked and who would lead us astray, because our own hearts would be led astray. Our own hearts would walk in the path of evil apart from the wisdom of God. And we have this complicating factor that there are others who would reinforce the sinfulness that is in our own hearts by how they speak and what they do. They have a wrong delight. They rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked. They are walking on the wrong path. Their ways are crooked and their paths deviate, go astray from God's path. But they are not satisfied to be alone. They speak these perverse things, verse 12. And so we're in danger from the wicked generally, and specifically in the area of romance and seventh commandment issues, so that there is this specific species, if you will, of the wicked man, and that is the strange woman. So verse 12, to deliver you from the man who speaks perverse things. And then verse 16, furthermore, following up on this, reinforcing this, to deliver you from the strange woman. She is strange because she is not the one that Providence has selected for you as your wife. Now this, of course, is addressed as to a son, but addressed as to a daughter. There is also the allure of the strange man, of finding emotional pleasure and even physical pleasure with the one whom Providence has not appointed to you as your husband. This strange man is a stranger to us, and just as she is not our wife, the wife of our youth, so she forsakes the companion of her youth, verse 17. And shows she's a stranger in that way, but she's also a stranger to God. She walks a crooked path that deviates, that goes astray from him. She doesn't just leave the companion of her youth, first part of verse 17. She forgets the covenant of her God, both the covenant of grace, in which God saves us for himself to be holy unto him, and one who enters into romantic interaction or identity or affection or action with someone who is not the one that providence has selected for them, is sinning and sinning against God. And this is forgetting the covenant of her God. And so this is a professing believer in this case. And the one who is enticed by her desires that romantic identification with her, or affection with and to and from her, or action with her. He too may be a professing believer. It may be his God whose covenant he is forgetting. And so there is the forgetting of the covenant of grace, in which the Lord brings us to be his very own people and gives us his law, reminding us that he is Yahweh our God, Yahweh our God, Yahweh our God. The first five commandments, if you take the preface with the first commandment, all making that point. And so she forgets the covenant of her God, but it's also not only a reference to the covenant of grace, but the covenant of marriage. It is God who joins a husband and wife together. It is God who gives them that identity where the two become one flesh, identified with one another, where the two become one, not just in identity, but in affection and even in physical interaction. To have or pursue any of these apart from marriage is to forget the covenant of marriage, that God has given us marriage as a lifelong bond between two people in which they are covenanted, sworn to one another, and not just one to the other, but joined, bound together by God himself, what God has joined together, says the scripture. Let no man separate. And so this passage highlights for us one of the most intense, important ways in which we may be led astray into evil if we do not have wisdom. But what does wisdom then do for us? Well, wisdom is the fear of the Lord, to belong to him, to be bound to him and walk with him, to live in wonder at him and to offer our life as worship unto him. This is what it means to fear God. And as wisdom does this, it enters our heart, verse 10. And this wisdom, this knowledge, wisdom as the knowing of God, verse 5, it is pleasant to our soul. So we have the true and genuine controlling of our heart and delighting of our soul, so that we will be delivered from, preserved from, kept from the way of evil, the man who speaks perverse things, the strange woman. The way we are kept out of those paths is not merely by trying to stay away from those paths. The way that we are protected from those wrong pleasures, those wrong delights, is not merely by refusing to have that delight. We are kept from the wrong path by walking in the right path. We are kept from the wrong pleasure by taking and having the right pleasure. And so we are spared from going with the wicked man or the strange woman. How many have thought to themselves that they might be able to enjoy some romantic pleasure, some physical pleasure, the the pleasure of being identified with this woman, or in the case of a young lady, of that man whom Providence has not assigned to them as their husband, or in the young man's case, their wife. But their path leads down to death. Their house leads down to death. And the word down in verse 18 is because the phrase leads down is trying to translate this sinking word. The idea that you can walk with the Lord and have this other as well at the same time is a self-deception. The wrong romance and the sexual sin, the indulging of romantic lust or physical lust or identity lust, is like a gravity well that you cannot get out of. And so verse 18, her house leads down, sucks you down into death, her paths to the dead. Verse 19, none who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. And so what wisdom does is it makes us walk in the right path. It makes us take our delight, the pleasantness of our soul, find the pleasure of our soul in God himself, so that we will walk in the way of goodness and keep to the paths of righteousness and have God himself as our blessedness. That's the point in verse 21. For the upright will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. That was never so much about a parcel of land in the ancient Near East. It was always about the city, the lasting city whose builder is God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. It was always about the better country, not just the new heavens and the new earth, although certainly that, but having God himself as our dwelling place in the new heavens and the new earth. This is what verse 21 is referring to. What has always been the hope of genuine faith, according to Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 17. And so we stick to God's paths, and we stick to finding in God our pleasure, and our purpose, our identity. And that saves us from our own wickedness, of which other wicked ones would take advantage, and especially the strange woman. The wicked, he says, will be cut off from the land. It's the same word as land in verse 21, and it's the counterpart. The wicked will perish in hell forever. The unfaithful will not enjoy God as their dwelling place. They will not enjoy his favor forever. They will suffer his fury forever. And so the benefit of wisdom is having God, God himself as our guide, our protector, our delight, that we would not walk or be lured into the crooked paths, that we would not be flattered by the seductress's words. Oh, may God save your lives, each of you, summoning you by his word, calling you to himself in his Son by his Spirit, that you would find your whole identity in him, that the great pleasure of your life, the great joy of your life would be in him. He does this by his wisdom especially. It is the instrument of his preaching that he uses to give us faith, to save our souls, to sanctify us, to equip us for every good work. And so it is this wisdom, the word of God, which he makes to abide in us, to dwell in us, to enter our heart, as verse 10 says. It is by the use of his word and his wisdom that he delivers us from our own sin, from wicked men generally, from the strange ones specifically. Praise God for his mercy, which comes to us by way of, by means of his wisdom and his word. Let's ask him to bless it to us. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you that you protect us from ourselves and from others who would lead us astray from you. Give us to have you as our identity and our pleasure, now, for the rest of this life, and forever, we ask, through Christ. Amen.